Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday, June 26th meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. Would you please call the roll, Ms. Cassiola?
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Villa, absent. Vice President Joyce Sonnison?
Here.
And President Barney?
Here. Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any comments on agenda review?
No.
Seeing none, I'd like to remind everybody that the purpose of the board meeting is to conduct the business of the community in an effective and efficient manner. For the benefit of the community, the Oceano Community Services District asks that you follow the board meeting guidelines while attending board meetings and treat everyone with respect and dignity. This is done by following meeting guidelines set forth in state law and board policy. Disruptive conduct is not tolerated, including but not limited to addressing the board without first being recognized, interrupting speakers, board members, or staff, continuing to speak after the allotted time has expired, failing to relinquish the podium when directed to do so, and repetitiously addressing the same subject. And we appreciate your cooperation with these very much. We'll now take public comment on matters not on the agenda. I don't have any speaker slips on this. Is there any public comment on items not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to special presentations and reports, starting with our Commander Ian Dowdy of the South County Sheriff Station. Commander?
Good afternoon, Board. I can touch on just a couple points and then I'll give the June stats at our next meeting. But for the couple points that we have been working with Public Works for some of the encampments in the levee. I know they're trying to get them posted and work with that. So it is their property, so we'll work with them and then let them run through their course. And then when it comes to any enforcement, if needed, then we'll be able to work with them on that. Additionally, we've touched base with CAL FIRE and work with their arson investigators for next week and have some directed patrols as we can for the 4th of July on the weekend. So. We'll see what comes out.
Thank you for that.
Will you have the little ATVs like before? Didn't they have those at one time?
We won't have those. I don't know if state parks will have them. I would assume that they will, probably on a presence up and down to Pismo. CAL FIRE specifically will be on patrol units and we'll coordinate with them, at least for that night.
Thank you.
Okay. Happy to field any other questions.
Did you notice our tree? We cut it. Took it up, so you can't live under it anymore.
All right.
That's it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Five Cities Fire Authority, Chief Hallett. Thank you for being here tonight, Chief.
Thank you, President Barney and members of the board. Just a quick update on a weed abatement. So the contractor has started work, did start last week. They're starting on the eastern end of the fire authority, which would be Aurora Grande, and working west. And our goal and our hope is that they'll have all remaining parcels left to be abated completed by July 4th prior to any fireworks activities. And then lastly, we're pleased that the fire board and the board of supervisors approved the contract for Five Cities Fire Authority. We're certainly looking forward to your action tonight so we can continue to provide the services in Oceano uninterrupted. Thank you.
Any questions from directors?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Director. Thank you, Fire Chief. Our operations manager, Mr. Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So for the past couple weeks, we're doing our weekly and monthly samples. We had 5 work orders, 7 USAs, 6 customer service calls. We had 1 after hours call out. There were multiple unlocks and to return the water services back on. We are still continuing to really focus on sewer jetting. We had to disconnect well 7 from our system per DDW, Division of Drinking Water, because it's never been in service. And most likely we'll be decommissioning that well. It is an extremely shallow well and it's never been used for production. It produces about 75 gallons a minute, from what I understand. And we, a few other things DDW required is our site sample plan had to be updated, and emergency response plan, and that's all been taken care of. The hit hydrant over there on Wilmar, we have repaired it and reinstalled it. We had a high pressure water line on the jetter blow apart, and so we replaced that and a few others self-performed that. So hopefully that won't happen again here anytime soon. We attended Boys and Girls Club Day of the Child, myself and another field staff at the backhoe and a table in the booth. And we actually had Luz from the office come there. She was the bilingual employee. It worked out really well. As you can probably see, you got the fireworks signs that are posted throughout Oceana. We put those up. We also had lock-offs, and today we had a power outage that affected the yard, sheriff station, this building here, and lift station. The generator, everything turned on great, except for the one ATS. It's an automatic transfer switch here at the office. So we're getting that looked at and get that taken care of as soon as possible. And we also started the year-end inventory of all the equipment at the yard, vehicles, and so we get that inventory prior to the first. And as for the tank one, there's a small punch list to complete. The disinfecting of the inside of it will be going Tuesday. As soon as that gets done, we will be filling that tank as fast and easy as possible. And it'll be a 5-day soak test with quite a few other samples before that goes online. So everything seems to be going pretty well. Any questions?
Very good.
Mm-hmm. What's a DDW?
Division of Drinking Water.
Okay.
All yes, right. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, I hadn't heard that one before.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. General Manager, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Varney, members of the board. For the General Manager's update, I have a few items to go over with you. Your board recently, back in April, looked at MNS Engineering Group for some potential grant services for water CIP project. MNS did pursue that grant, but didn't deem us very well qualified to compete for it. So although we authorized something in the $20,000 range, we're gonna bring that money back in and keep looking for other grants because the one that they had in mind wasn't a good candidate through the Bureau of Reclamation. A few meetings I attended. I attended the Board of Supervisors meeting on June 18th to support the Five Cities Fire Authority divestiture and just to introduce myself to the board. On June 24th, I had a follow-up meeting with Matt Pontus and Rebecca Campbell to kind of talk about how we might move the divestiture along. There's a few outstanding legal agreements and, of course, the LAFCO process. I also spoke with the county administrators about their proposal for broadband transfer station here near the OCSD property, as well as some Oceano Plaza maintenance questions for that project once it's completed. On June 20th, I attended the State Water Sub Contractors Advisory Committee meeting, and on June 25th, I attended the RAC, the Water Resources Advisory Committee at the county, where that committee, Director Villa was there as well, nearly unanimously supported the county's effort to use this year in a surplus water year to potentially sell state water to interested parties. On the grant front, I think I want to let everybody know that Ms. Cassiola and Mr. Maricino put their heads together on potentially getting a grant out to the Rose Foundation that is doing a Central Coast Community Water Quality Program. And that would be for Wellhouse 8 for a static mixer. It's about $45,000. It has no match requirement, although we may put in a small match, but we think we're a good candidate for that project. Staff is interested in bringing to the board a board calendar potentially for the end of 2024. So look for that item coming up in July. And I've continued to get to know staff, community members, and my colleagues here in the county and been productive. To that end, I had Anecdotally, there was one day when Lou Santos wasn't here, and there, Ms. Casiola had come into my office a number of times for needing Spanish speaking, and so I got an opportunity to help the community. I was surprised it was four or five times in a single day, but I was also pleased to be able to translate and answer questions to the best of my ability. And then lastly, as I get to know staff and the community, I wanted to give a shout out to Andres and Julian, who had their second child, I believe. Mireia was born on June 19th, and she was 7 pounds. And she's the latest addition to the OCSD staff family. So congrats to them.
Okay. Any questions from directors, comments?
No, thank you.
Not I.
Okay, thank you. We'll go to directors' reports and outside committee reports, starting with Director Villa.
I just attended the special meeting also with our manager, and I guess I could elaborate a little. I think it's a great transfer of water, a great agreement, because of what I learned there, that it's kind of a win-win. I see it as a win-win because we get money and they get water. Right? And these farmers are in severe need of water. They're from Kern and King County, and we know that, you know, those areas have a significant acreage of farmland, and that farming and the produce is what makes California so great. So we'll be helping them out, and it's just a one-time type of thing, one-time transfer or sell, however you want to see it. Oceano, I believe our manager stated, would get like $136,400. And the district itself can get up to $3.3 million. And this is from water that would have been like lost anyways because we have a surplus now. What happened to the drought? I hope it stays this way. Wow. So, yeah, I learned a lot, and I think it's a great agreement.
Thank you.
So that was the county is going to be selling the water, because I heard a little bit about the
district.
King.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To King's County, to
Kern and King.
Kern and King's County.
And the subcontractors get their portion, so that's
right.
Why
so the county's doing it, then all the subs are going to get. Yeah. So that's where we're going to get 100 and some thousand mm-hmm. from our. Okay, that's wonderful.
Yeah. That's something.
Yeah.
And just point of clarification, the sale of the surplus water would most likely be banked in the form of a future state water purchase credit. They're not actually a cash transfer, but we would have over $100,000 in the bank so that when we go to purchase state water, we can use our credit instead of dollars.
Okay.
All right. Director Gibson?
Are we going to committee reports?
Now's the time to do reports.
Pardon?
Now's the time to do reports.
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. Director Austin?
I have nothing.
Okay. Director, where am I at? Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes, Oak Park attended the Day of the Child as well, and it seemed like a very successful event for the community. We had a small booth set up with a game that was arranged in a way that any level of child could play it, because there was some reading activity as well as just guessing activity. So that was real successful. We gave out over 100 dinosaurs, and it was dinosaur-based. And then we took several surveys, and there seems to be a big interest in the jogging track. So that showed up a lot on the survey. Okay.
Thank you. I don't have anything to report, so we'll move to public comment on special presentations and reports.
Good evening, Julie Tacker, and I wanted to I'm going to slip this in. It's kind of general manager related, but it's really a kudos to Carrie. I don't know if you noticed in your agenda, there's a little bit of a new format, and it's very helpful to the public to, starts on page 2, that the page numbers of the individual items that are listed on your mm-hmm. agenda are available for you to be able to scroll through the packet should you want to find your item that way, or, and then they're hyperlinked if you're looking at it on a computer, and it goes directly to that. So I've seen that in other districts. I'm happy to see it here, and I'm thrilled that Carrie was able to implement that. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 7, the consent agenda items. And do you have a staff report on this, Mr. Brown? Anything you wanted to share? Ms. Cassiola, do you have anything on this? So then we'll take public comment on items on the consent agenda, if there are any. Seeing none, looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sonnison?
Yes.
And President Barney?
Yes. Thank you. Moving on to business item 8A, consideration of approval of the First Amendment to the agreement to provide fire services between Five Cities Fire Authority and the OCSD on an annual amount of $1.7 million. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Barney, members of the board. As you're probably all more familiar than I am with this coming in here in the first few weeks, but the fire divestiture is a multi-phase process, and I would say we're getting towards the end of it. What's before you tonight is a recommendation that the board approve the contract with Five Cities Fire Authority for interim fire protection services between July 1 and December 30th. Earlier this month, the Five Cities Fire Authority adopted this agreement, or one similar to it. The county did the same on their June 18th board meeting, and it is our turn to approve this, and this basically keeps the ball rolling, and it sets out the terms for what we will be on the hook in terms of financially continuing to maintain existing fire services in the community. I think that, you know, this is an important action to take. I think the LAFCO follow-up that I will be pursuing with the staff, as I mentioned in my general manager's report, will be critical, and I'll continue to do that. I know that we've budgeted the 6 months. It may be done sooner than that. It may take all 6 months. It really is up to a couple variables. The first two are how quickly can we get the agreements for property tracts transfer between the county and the district, and fee title for the property between the district and the county. Those agreements need to be finished, signed, approved. They'll come back to your board in a few months once they're completed. And then the final piece is initiating the LAFCO application. And in discussions with LAFCO, we believe that that is at the soonest a 60-day process with LAFCO. It could take longer, but we're gonna try to make it be on the shortest end of that. So I'm happy to take any questions the board may have on this item before you.
Any questions from directors? Well, this is a historic moment that three general managers have participated in this process, and it is it was essential that we all be on the same page before we went to LAFCO. They don't want to be adjudicating, and so. Appreciation to everybody that worked on this, and is the county pretty much in the driver's seat in terms of drafting up the property transfers, the title, that sort of stuff, Mr. Brown?
I believe so. They're the lead agency. They've done this before. This won't be the first property tax transfer agreement they've ever entered into, right, nor the transfer of the property. So I've asked them to take the lead on it. They have template documents, and we'll be reviewing those with legal as soon as we get them.
Thank you. I have two speaker slips on this item. First is Karen White. Could you bring your microphone down? Thank you.
If Oceana did not increase its tax revenue to fund fire services, if it went to San Luis County for help,
can you turn it on, Karen?
Its fire station. What?
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on. Twinkle, twinkle.
Jeez, it sounds like it's not working.
Can you start over? Because
start all over.
We were all yelling at
you. Yeah.
Okay.
And speak loudly.
As a past OCSD board member and committee member in support of the 2020 fire tax increase, I am here to say I told you so. I warned then that if Oceano did not increase its tax revenue to fund fire services, if it went to San Luis County for help, the district would lose its fire station. Well, guess what? The deal you're looking at tonight, the county requires the OCSD to hand over the deed to the building in which we are all sitting. Oh yeah, the OCSD will still use it. They pay $9,676 a month rent. Maybe you should search for cheaper digs. The building so proudly dedicated to the community in 1985 after years of effort is being taken away along with most of the tax revenue and all the facilities fees. County documents refer to it as a one-time transfer of $2 million. To be fair, the OCSD will get out from under providing fire and emergency services. But Oceana residents will have no local voice to say how the service is operated. The fire service promises response time of 7 to 11 minutes. That's in the documents. Before 2020's tax failure, it was as quick as 3 minutes for an engine from the Oceana station to get to the Cienega area mobile home parks where lots of seniors live. I remember being called a fearmonger and other names I won't repeat when I warned Oceana would lose its facilities if the election fails. It almost passed, failing only 9 votes short of the needed 2/3. The majority of Oceana's taxpayers wanted to keep their fire service, and the majority also supported a second 2022 vote. Among those who fought against the tax and challenged my warnings was Charles Varney, now OCSD president. He opposed the fire tax in all ways possible and reassured voters that San Luis Obispo County would take care of Oceana's fire need. Tonight he gets to approve the fire station giveaway. I guess that is why the community is calling the fire deal the Varney tax. See, we know you are one of the 9 who voted against the fire tax and against Oceano. Thank you.
Next speaker is Kim Rose.
Good evening. My name is Kim Rose. And you know, earlier it was stated that this is a historical moment. I don't think it's a historical moment. I think it's a very sad moment. And I know what I'm about to say is very uncomfortable for some people, but as a Latino woman and a resident of Oceano, it is my First Amendment right to speak here today. As we move forward on the agenda with the items tonight, I would like to remind people, had the fire tax passed, we would not be losing critical fire response times and giving away our firehouse and our district headquarters building. So again, I remind you about the Varney tax.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and wow. I'm supportive of the board's action tonight that's recommended by your staff. But I wanted to caution you or make you aware that you can't turn your back on Five Cities Fire Authority. You as a board, you as a community out there should be going to their meetings and watching how they spend their money. Last year, the district contracted with FCFA for $1,150,000 for this year's service. In January of this year, before there was a new chief, so no blame here, but the under the previous chief, there was $2,000 spent on a retirement party for that chief. There were approximately 50 people invited. They included the city council members from Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. They did not include the Oceano CSD board members. Former board member Karen White was invited. Former Oceano CSD general manager Will Clemens was invited. But of that $1,150,000 and the fractional contribution from Oceano for that $2,000 party, you weren't invited. The public wasn't invited for a piece of cake. Nothing. That was fire money that should have been spent on the resources for your community for emergency services, for your three communities. So watch that agency. Watch how they spend their money. And that's your money. And that money could be better spent serving the people of Oceana.
Is there any other public comment on item 8A? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. And you're looking for a motion on this, Mr. Brown?
Do we have any discussion?
I'm sorry, of course. Directors?
I just want to thank everyone that was involved in coming to this agreement out of, you know, all the options that we were facing. This is the best outcome we could have hoped for. And I know the county worked with us and listened to us, and it's a very sad day, but I am thankful that we did reach an agreement, and I believe contracting with Five Cities Fire Authority is a good, I'm glad that we're doing that, because you know, they know our community, they've been here, and they do a fine job, and I feel secure knowing that they are the ones that are going to be answering our calls. So, and I wanna, you know, to the majority of the Oceano residents who did support the fire tax, I just wanna say, you know, thank you. We tried, and who knows what'll happen in the future. We'll see what goes on. But right now, I'm just glad that we've all come together and got this agreement going forward. So that's it, thank you.
Thank you, Director Austin. Yeah. Director Gibson?
Yeah, I have several comments, because I want to kind of keep the community informed about some of the consequences of the divestiture. So first of all, I want to commend and thank the Board of Supervisors for their partnership in assisting the district through the lengthy process of divestiture of our fire protection service. And let's not forget the Fire Authority and the stellar firefighters who all keep us safe. I am in favor of supporting the contract for interim fire services. And some of the things I wanted to inform the Oceano community about are that because of divestiture, the OCSD is not going to be the same, okay? First, because we are losing one of our major powers, fire protection. We will no longer have local control. This building, the fire station, is closed and may stay closed. We don't know, and we have no say in that matter. So our local control over fire is totally gone. And then we will also lose over 96% of our property taxes. That will all go to the county to cover our fire protection. And there's a possibility of lower insurance ratings because the Oceano Station is closed, which could in turn increase homeowners' insurance. And in addition, the district will no longer have ownership of this building. And this building houses our office and the fire station. Instead, the district will pay over $9,000 a month for rent. And 3 months ago, the district paid off the mortgage of the sheriff's building. So the district will no longer be receiving rent monies in the amount of $123,000 a year. Instead, the district will collect just $1 a year from the sheriff's office. Additionally, the county will take our public facilities funds. And as you can see, all of those losses will be painful as the district is losing a significant amount of district assets. But the most concerning consequence is the doubling of the response times that were achieved by the fire authority, and that was 5 minutes or less, and that was when all three stations were working. Currently, with only two stations working, Grover and Arroyo, the response time is more like 7 to 11 minutes. So essentially, it's almost double. Those additional minutes are extremely significant to a critical ill person. And I hope that no one has to go through that. And I do want to add that the slower response times are not due to the firefighters. They just can't be everywhere at once. And because of all those reasons, at least one other board member is interested in having a discussion about putting a fire tax proposal on the ballot again. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Any comments here?
Well,
Director Villa?
Yes, it is a sad situation, a sad event, but I'm hopeful because I just believe in Oceano and I believe in the Five Cities community, and I know that they sometimes might not seem like they care, but the majority of people here in the Five Cities area do care about the community of Oceano, and I believe San Luis Obispo, the Board of Supervisors, cares also for the community of Oceano. I am very concerned about the response times myself, but hopefully we can somehow increase those times. I don't know how, but if we all put our heads together, something has to happen. I'll be praying about that. It's very concerning. I feel confident and happy that the transition time is going to be handled by Five Cities Fire Authority because they know our community and they're very effective at what they do. So that's basically it. I mean, I don't know if we can put another tax in, if it would pass, but I'm certain it would pass this time. Now that reality hits you, you know, and you see.
Right.
The community doesn't really want to lose what it has.
Right. They didn't really realize.
Excuse me. Director Villa has the floor.
Sorry.
Those are my comments. That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
President Vardy, may I ask if I know the response time question has come up. I know you're in the middle of board deliberations. I wonder if you might consider inviting the chief up to speak about the fire district's plan for improving response times, perhaps getting this station back online. It could be helpful to the discussion if you would entertain it.
Chief Hallett, would you?
Maybe they have some ideas already.
Come up and speak if you have, can shed more light on this topic.
Certainly. So the response times are a valid concern, not having the station in Oceano any longer. And the estimates, without breaking out all the individual response times, the response times that have been stated at night between 7 and 11 minutes are probably fairly accurate. If you just take drive time using MapQuest from this location to the Grover Beach station, which is the closest station, is 5 minutes. NFPA standards for turnout time is 60 seconds. It's turnout, our call processing time per NFPA standards is within 29 seconds. So you're already, just to factor in that, is at 6.5 minutes. So a lot of communities, ideally, they shoot for a response time of within 4 to 6 minutes. When we look at our total response times within the authority right now, our average response times are probably around 8 minutes. And obviously, responding into Oceano is increasing those overall average response times. And then within some areas close to the Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach city limits, we may have improved our response times because we now have that second company coming out of the Arroyo Grande station. In terms of plans, ideally would be to relocate to this station back in Oceano. Mm-hmm. There has been some estimates of what the cost to renovate this station and make and basically put it back into fire station acceptable living standards is close to $2 million. And so the conversations with the county has been to put it on their CIP list. And that really is out of our control once the county takes over possession of the property, of when that time frame would be allocated with all the other projects within the county. So that would be something that we wouldn't have control over. We could certainly look at other station possibilities. We are going to do a standards of cover study this year, and it's going to basically establish what our current service levels are, what those performance measures are, and how they're being met, and then identify areas for improvement, opportunities for improvement. And then at that point, now that the county holds that contract, it would be a matter of the cities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and the county basically providing any additional fundings to meet those opportunities of improvements. And the big one would be response times as well as staffing.
Could you say a little bit about where ambulance service fits into the picture of response time, since most, I think over 90% of fire calls are for emergency medical issues, not fires?
Yeah, so in looking at some of our statistics, our average response times since the beginning of this year is 8 minutes and 18 seconds, just to kind of put that into perspective. So the ambulance does have response time standards that now the APOC committee is going to be enforcing. And so their standard is really 10 minutes and 59 seconds. And if they don't meet that standard, they're going to start paying a penalty, in essence. And so they are somewhat regulated by the county emergency services agencies, which is a part of public health. And so they are monitored for their response times, but ultimately that's the standard that they are trying to meet, is in essence less than 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so we still are majority of the time beating them on scene and have mm-hmm. a better response time than the ambulance. So.
Has there been any discussion of relocating an ambulance service station into this building?
Not that I've been part of. So one okay. of the components of there's been a large push by the Fire Chiefs Association to hold them to their response time standards. And ultimately, the goal of that is not so we can basically make them pay a penalty for their lack of response times, but it's to have them improve their response times. And so yeah. as they start to look at what their response times are, whether or not they're meeting that standard, that ultimately will be up to them to relocate stations, provide additional units, which in essence is what the fire service has mm-hmm. to do. When we realize we have an area that we have deficient response time, we have to relocate stations or add additional units and personnel. And that ultimately maybe what they have to do as well.
Okay, all right.
I have some questions.
Okay, Director Gibson.
Let's see, so emergency responses, is it really about 90%? I thought it was a little lower than that.
For EMS responses?
Mm-hmm.
Typically it runs around 75% to 80%.
Okay, that's what I thought. And you talked about this building and the $2 million, so I think you're saying don't hold our breath for that as an immediate.
Well, I would love to be very optimistic on that because I think that's what the community needs as well as what the fire authority would prefer.
Yeah, okay.
Understanding the county's current budget situation and where I'm sure they have a long list of projects that they need to fund.
Yeah.
It's really hard to determine when that would become a priority.
Yeah, okay. And is there any discussion of a county-wide fire authority instead of, you know, just each town having their own?
I mean, that conceptually, the fire service always looks at further regionalization opportunities. Obviously, mm-hmm. the creation of the Five Cities Fire Authority was one of the first steps of that here within San Luis Obispo County. Mm-hmm. And really, it was because it was more efficient, you know,
right.
because you don't have redundancy in operations. So conceptually, you know, there's a number of counties that do it, but I think we're still a long ways away from getting
okay.
there.
Okay.
Looking at the dynamics within San Luis County.
Okay, thank you for that. That helps.
Thank you, Mr. Hallett.
Any further questions?
I'd just like to make a couple of comments. It's incorrect that the county is taking all of our property tax monies any differently than they've been taking them for years. That money, 95-96% of it has gone to the county to pay for fire services. The statement that now all of our public facility monies, which are the monies we get from development, are going to go to the county, go to fire services. That's the only thing they can go to, and that has been the rule of law for years. So there's no change with that. And while I was president of the Five Cities Fire Authority and having these discussions, the early discussions in terms of the divestiture, it was clear that from the get-go that Five Cities Fire Authority wants to have Oceano as an operational station. And throughout the discussions and negotiations, that has always been in the mix. And it hasn't been forgotten by anybody that's been involved with that. I also know that the county is planning to do a large investigation and study of how it can rethink fire and emergency medical services across the entire county, so that regional perspective. Certainly, we will be part of that. So I think with that, we can close discussion.
May I?
I think you've had sufficient time to express yourself, Director Gibson. So we'll move on for a decision here.
Were you waiting for a motion then?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I'd like to make a motion that we, what do we call it? We approve the First Amendment to the agreement to provide fire service between the Five Cities Fire Authority and the Oceano Community Services District based on the fixed annual amount of $1,706,000 for the term July 1st, 2024 through December 31st, 2024.
A second.
It's been first and seconded. Okay. Call the roll.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And President Barney?
Yes. Okay, we'll move to item 8B, review and consideration of outreach options of the district's November 2024 division-based elections. Mr. Brown?
President Varney, members of the board, item 8 before you, 8B, is an action item, and we're looking for direction from the board on how you would like us to pursue outreach for the upcoming election in November. This is one of the first times that the Luciano community will be faced with division, five division based election. And staff believes that it's important to ensure that all members of the community are aware of what's happening and what their role is. Ms. Cassiola did a fine job of outlining in your staff report some of the options before you. What the staff is recommending is a postcard to all service addresses, and really briefly, we considered three different options. One is focusing on a division that we don't currently know of anyone that might have put in or will be putting in after the July 14th deadline. That's Division 4. We could also look at Divisions 1, 4, and 5 that all are up for election in terms of the board representation. And then what we settled on is the entire community would probably be best informed with a simple informational postcard that talks about the division election and their roles and responsibilities in terms of participation. So that's what staff is recommending, and Ms. Cassiola and I are here if you have any questions on the item.
Okay. Before we go to directors, I'd like to open this for public comment.
Questions, clarifications from the board is fine before public comment?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Director Gibson?
So what is your essential recommendation?
It would be postcards to all service addresses in the district. We've set aside around $2,500 in postage for the upcoming budget. This would be about $1,500 of that. So we've already set aside in the budget. And we think, we looked at utility inserts, which I think future outreach, we can take better advantage of utility inserts. They're cheaper. One of the issues we had in this particular case is July 31st, I think, is the next time we would have one available. And that eats into some of the election declaration window time. So we thought the postcard would be a nice way to get it to everyone and give them equal opportunity to learn about the division system.
And did I miss it, but is there a timeline on that?
Well, we would act pretty quickly after your board takes action tonight simply because the timelines are starting mm-hmm. to kick in. So. In the next week or two, we would try to put together this postcard and get it out by the second week of July.
Okay. All right, thank you for those answers.
Other questions or comments?
No, I think it's a great recommendation because a lot of people don't know that we are at the division. We do divisions now, and that explains it to them, and they will come out and vote if they're in that division. So it's good.
I think this is a good step to take.
Real quick, before going to deliberations, it might be a good idea to do public comment as long as there's no more clarifying questions from the board.
I'll turn it into a clarifying question.
Okay, there you go.
Is it possible to add into this a direction that the Oceana Community Services District sponsor a public candidate forum that would be facilitated by the League of Women Voters?
I don't believe we could do that today with this item before you. It wasn't agendized as such.
Okay. Can't add that on? Okay. All right, then we'll take public comment on item 8B. Seeing none, are there any other questions or comments?
No.
Okay, we'll look for a motion to approve staff recommendation on outreach.
I move that we approve staff recommendation on outreach.
Second.
Okay, call for the question.
Vice President Joyce Sonneson?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Varney.
Yes. Moving to item 8C, which is review of the June 30th audit of the district and the independent audits report. Ms. Cassiola.
Thank you. President Varney, members of the board, item 8C, we have the final June 30th, 2023 audited financial statements prepared by Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim. So each year, the district is required to provide regular audits of our accounts and records to the state, the county, and LAFCO before June 30 of the next year. So last year, the board went out to RFP and for independent audit services and awarded the next three audit years to Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim. The final audit has been completed for fiscal year 2022-2023 and is scheduled to be presented to the Oceano Finance and Budget Committee at our meeting on July 18th with our partner from Moss, Levy, Mr. Guise. Included in the final audit is the internal controls report. This includes the 2022 findings. This is regarding accrued leave and utility receipts. The accrued leave finding was discovered before the close of last year's audit, so that would have been 2021-2022, and the recommendations provided by the auditors were implemented by staff. Then for the utility receipts finding, which is included in both the 2022 report and the 2023 report, has been included in this report because it was found after the closing of June 30th, 2022. Both have been resolved and there are no new findings for 2023. So there's also a management discussion and analysis report that has been included in your audit report, which has been provided since, I believe, 2017. This gives operational and historical context to upcoming issues, things like our fire divestiture and our upcoming Prop 218 wastewater rate increase. So those are both mentioned in there. With that, unfortunately, Mr. Guise was not available for tonight's meeting, and that's why we'll have him at our Oceano Finance and Budget Committee and later to this board after that presentation. So for tonight, after this has been reviewed and filed by the board, it'll be sent to the county, the state, and LAFCO. So with that, I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Well, I'm glad to see that the findings were remediated and that's no longer an issue.
I just wanted to get a clarification, Ms. Cassiola, and it was a very comprehensive report, and there was, as I was going through it, it seemed like there would be certain portions were kind of repeated at different points, and on page 4, it said that there was a statement that single employees still had power to void bills, but I do not believe that that is the case. And I don't know if I was, had the context wrong for it, or if it was a typo.
This is on page four of the 2022 findings. So previously, employee had, the access to both these items without a second approval, and both of those have been installed since.
Okay.
And we worked with Tyler Incode, formerly known as Tyler Incode, which is our accounting software, and they're now EPR Pro to install those.
Is that on page 4?
Are you on, this is page 4 of the internal controls, but it's page 55 of the overall agenda.
Okay, right, okay. Okay, then I had that in a different context. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That was my understanding, was that that was not the case anymore.
Yes, if you go to page 3, you'll see the recommendation and district corrective action plan.
Okay.
So that's where that 2022 is taken care of in 2023.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll take public comment on item 8C.
Julie Tacker again, and really quick, this auditing firm audits lots of other public agencies, and they're using some boilerplate in here, and they mm-hmm. call you the city.
Mm-hmm.
In your
I noticed
so
that.
So send that up the chain for all those little CSDs that use this firm. Mm-hmm. They need another plate. template. And I'm happy to see a clean audit this year. What I think this does raise the question of for your legal counsel maybe to come back in the near term with an update from the DA's office on the investigation into how long, how much, and what the outcome of this embezzlement is to your district. Because you have the right to recover any money and any damages. So that person needs to be held accountable. And while I know the wheels of justice move slowly, this continues to hurt your district. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Do we require a motion on this, Mr. Minery, or do we simply file?
This is a receive and file, so you don't need a motion on it.
Okay. All right. So noted, received and filed. Moving on to 8D. This is the second reading and final adoption of the ordinance adding a district code chapter entitled District Seal and Logo that we have had before us many times.
President Varney and directors of the board, this is item 8D is a ordinance to preserve and maintain your seal and logo. Because we have the opportunity tonight, just very quickly, you have two resolutions and you have an ordinance, two ordinances. I just wanted to give you for the next two items a basic understanding for the benefit of the public. Resolutions are usually to specific issues. They don't require publication or two readings. You'll see them tonight was to consolidate your election and then later on the item to the hearing item to adopt the preliminary budget for a specific year. Ordinances are permanent changes to your code that are not addressing any particular issue, but just proactively providing either to prevent someone from doing, either asking to stop someone from doing something or requiring them to do one. Ordinances have to be published several times in the newspaper, but both require roll call votes. Before you tonight is item 8D, which does a few things. It reminds the members of the public that the logo and seal of the district is property of the district. And this ordinance maintains the district's control of the use or on a unauthorized use, and also creates a mechanism to enforce the state law that unauthorized use is a misdemeanor. It is a formal act to do those things. And this ordinance is located on page 11 of your packet. And as is customary, and
it's page 109.
100 and,
one,
I said 111.
Is the ordinance. Well,
the ordinance.
Items 111.
Yeah, 111 is the ordinance. And I bring that to your attention because a proper motion for this item would be to adopt and read the title of the ordinance and waive by title only, so just read the title and waive a full reading of it. And after that motion is made, we'd see if we have a second. And if there are any questions, I'm glad to answer them.
Nope.
Okay, we'll call for public comment on item 8D, the entitled district seal and logo.
Julie Tacker again, and I had a quick question. it doesn't talk, your staff report doesn't talk about how someone were to get permission to use the logo. And maybe the ordinance does, but I didn't read it in that detail. What I'm curious about is, like, when the press does a story and KSBY is focused on the logo out front, are they violating your ordinance? I don't think they are, but I just wanted some clarification on that. 10 years ago, a board member in Oceano stood in front of the logo endorsing a candidate for mayor in Arroyo Grande, and all hell broke loose, and that commercial had to be edited. So it happens. The other thing that I was hoping for is, as part of your motion, or maybe a second motion accompanying this, that a signed copy of the ordinance be sent to the city of Pismo Beach so that they no longer use your logo. And they're very aware that they are committing a misdemeanor if they do. Thank you very much.
Would you like me to respond to that for the benefit of the board? So with news organizations, generally they stand on the public right of way, a road or something, and they do their story. That's a different issue. What this ordinance is really directed at is people using your logo to represent this agency's support of that whatever it is that they're trying to identify as a concern or to get support for. And so most commonly you'd see this used by realtors to advertise, or by public agencies, as we've seen other agencies, to indicate that Oceana Community Services District is in support of their effort when it is not. And so the two issues are identified. And of course, how any the ability of the board to enforce this or give direction is available at all times, and it could be circumstance dependent.
And I might just add to Mr. Minery's comments, it's section E of the ordinance that gets at the specifics, and the specific requirement is express written authorization. So that must be sought and received in order to use the logo.
Anything else?
Sorry.
Then we'll be looking for a...
I'll make a motion.
Okay, and Mr. Minery has specific suggested wording for that motion.
Yeah, I heard you. An ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District adding to the District Code Chapter 3.13 entitled District Seal and the District Logo, and waive the second reading.
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Verney?
Yes. Okay, moving on to item 8E. This is a second reading of the modifying the ordinance to allow for the abatement of late fees on water bills pending hearing for application of relief. Mr. Minery.
Thank you. Again, this item you've seen before. This is the second reading again. And if any of the directors intend to make a motion, you can model your format after Director Gibson's motion in the last round. It was done perfectly. And so this, what this ordinance does essentially is to clarify Ordinance 2006-1 and provide steps and clarity and process for anyone who has a complaint against a decision made by staff, or they feel application of an ordinance is done, the ordinance itself is unjust or inequitably applied in their particular circumstance. And it provides the steps of first someone to make an application to the board for the relief requested, citing the circumstance and letting us know what it is that the problem is. And then once the application is received, that the intent is to have the board hear the item within the next 45 days. And during that period, there is a tolling or a stall holding of any more accrual of fees if they're applicable at that time. And so 45 days to bring the item to the board, work as diligently based on staff time and board availability to get that done. So essentially it's just a process so people know how to do, and it helps staff in those types of instances to have a form to follow. And I'll take any questions if there are any.
I don't have any questions. I have a comment for later.
Okay, seeing none, we'll open it up for public comment on item 8E. Seeing none, anything else from directors?
I just think this this makes sense to do this and not pile late fees on top of everything else.
Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make the motion. We approve an ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District modifying ordinance number 2006-01, District Code 6.06.030, and waive the full reading of the ordinance.
I second.
Okay. You good with that, Mr. Minner?
Okay. Perfect. Beautiful.
Okay. Please call the question.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And President Bernie?
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Moving to item 9A. This is consideration of recommendations to adopt resolutions approving the fiscal year 24-25 preliminary budget and the fiscal year 24-25 appropriation limitation. Ms. Cassiola?
Thank you. President Barney, members of the board, 9A, yes, this is the public hearing.
Excuse
that was
me, Carrie, I just want to make sure that because this is a public hearing, President Varney, it would be good for you to officially open up the public hearing and then after public comment, close the hearing.
Okay. We are opening public hearing on the recommendations to adopt resolutions approving the fiscal year preliminary budget, the fiscal year appropriation limitation, and setting August 28th as the date of the public hearing to consider adoption of the final 24-25 budget.
Thank you. So yes, President Barney, members of the board, 9A, we have the public hearing. So I first wanted to get a gauge if your board would like to receive the same presentation we had at the June 12th meeting, since it was you guys gave us direction and I added some language to the budget narrative, and we have a section on page 124 of your agenda that's called variance summary. I can either present on that extra narrative that I added or the entire budget presentation. I just want to run that by you guys before I move forward with the presentation.
I think the added narrative would be fine for me. Everybody else agrees.
I would like to hear the added narrative. I don't need the full review.
Mm-hmm. You as well? You? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll go forward with on page 124 of your agenda. On last meeting, we reviewed the entire budget through a workshop, and we received some comments on the variance between last year's budget and this year's budget. And as you all know, that as we discussed in item 8A, most of the changes are coming from the divestiture in LAFCO. So of our fire services. So in the general fund, you'll see we're gonna decrease revenues by 23%. The items that are causing that large decrease is, as we discussed in previously, property taxes will decrease by $529,000 or 42%. This will happen after the transfer of property tax agreement is established with the county. Our public facilities fees, we usually budget about $15,000 a year. Those are in the general fund under facilities. Those will go to zero, and so basically 100% of the public facilities fees will go to the county with the upcoming transfer agreement for public facilities fees. The lease revenues, also in the facilities funds, will decrease for this year by $60,000 or 48%, because we have budgeted as we will only receive rent through December 2024. So those are the revenue items in the general fund. The expenditures in the general fund are expected to decrease by 16%. Items that are causing that will be the CalPERS UAL expense. That's going to increase to $24,000 in the upcoming year. As you know, in 2021, we refinanced our UAL, so this is the new increase. Our salaries and benefits, those have increased by 4%, and that's based on the MOU we hold with the Service Employees Union. We're also going to have an office lease expense, which is new, and that'll be in the administrative budget in the general fund. And for half the year, we'll pay about $61,000. We've also increased legal services by $10,000 up to, so it was $75,000, it will be $85,000 now, so that's about a 13% increase just with the upcoming RFP and the hiring of a new legal team in the first half of the fiscal year. We've also included an election expense of $11,000 with the consent item for consolidating the election with the county. They charge us $11,000 to do that. We've increased classes, seminars, training fees up by $8,000 just with the new board members coming on in November. And then we have new employees and we'll all be attending training. The fire and emergency contract in the fire fund obviously is increased. It's going from $1.1 million to $1.7 million. So that means a monthly charge of $142,000 from Five Cities Fire only through December 2024. And then we've also increased the Parks and Rec administration allocation by 1%. It used to be 0.5% of the administrative budget. Now it's going to be 1.1, and that increases it by $11,900. So then you see in the enterprise funds, revenues are increasing by 7%. Nothing really there changing, just our CPI increase that we sent our notices out. Then we also have expenditures increasing by 6%. The only thing notable that's different from last year in our enterprise funds is the wastewater fund. We have increased professional fees by $30,000 to initiate a rate study to increase the wastewater rates, since they haven't been increased since 2011. And then for reserves, in summary, with the preliminary budget as it is attached to your agenda today, we'll be using $370,000 to fund this budget. And this is clearly displaying the need for us to either increase revenues or lower expenditures, which clearly we will do that with our rate study and Prop 218 in the wastewater fund. So with that, that was the variance discussion that I added to your budget narrative on page 124 and 125. If there's any questions on that or any other items that we went over in June, I should note that this was posted in our newspaper, on our website, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Not for me.
I just have one, and this is, again, about the public facility fund. You said that with that $15,000, we are no longer getting it. But my understanding is that that $15,000 is earmarked for fire services.
Correct.
So it wasn't really, we had no discretion over that $15,000. And so with the county taking it, it's simply going directly to the county rather than go through us and we hand them the $15,000 for fire services as part of our, I mean, in essence.
Yeah, okay. Correct. The only time we've ever used public facilities fees is when we installed the emergency generator in 2019. Portions of the generator was able to be funded by public facilities fees because it powers the fire station and but not the The portion that was allocated to the sheriff's station was not allowed, only the portion allocated to the fire station.
Okay. So we do have some discretion, but it's very limited.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We won't have that anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll open this hearing to public comment on item 9A.
Julie Tacker, and I just wanted to piggyback on what was just said here. There is no discretion. It was fractional, and that is all that could be spent for fire. And public facility fees are public facilities. So libraries, the county uses public facilities to improve a library building. In your case, your allotment of public facility fees was only for fire services. So nothing got taken away. It actually makes it easier for them to actually use it.
Mm-hmm.
And if Five Cities Fire Authority and the county and everybody is on board with renovating here, dependent upon the new fees that are paid by new development, there may be some monies available to put towards that renovation. So it's still for OSHA.
Okay, so we're looking for a motion to adopt the resolutions as presented.
President Varney, you can close the public hearing officially.
Okay. So we'll, thank you. So we'll close the public hearing on the fiscal year preliminary budget and appropriation limitation.
And President Varney, if I may, prior to the board's potential action on this item, I wanted to take a moment to thank Ms. Cassioli, because putting together a budget, managing a budget, having an encyclopedic knowledge of every line item of the budget is no easy task. And I've appreciated her responsiveness. In particular, the beginning of the budget now has a summary of significant budget items. I think the variance discussion is very helpful for us to see what we're doing this year versus last year. And of concern to me as your new general manager is the drawdown of reserves that we've relied upon in the past few years. If you look at the wastewater fund alone, it was $20,000, then it was $120,000, and this budget proposes a $200,000 use of reserves. That's the bulk of the reserve drawdown that you're talking about. That is not a sustainable practice. We've also spent the last 5 years doing very few capital improvements on our wastewater system. Mm-hmm. And so the purpose of the wastewater rate study that we will embark on this year is really to assess our system and get it up to speed. I'm an infrastructure detail maintenance and CIP guy. Ms. Cassiola is an accountant, and she does a fine job on the budget. And so I wanted to thank you for your time and effort on this, and keep up the good work.
Well, I know we can all, I can speak to a unanimous second to your motion there.
Absolutely.
On Ms. Cassiola's
thank you,
great
Ms. Cassiola.
Job. Yes, thank you so much. I don't see any further discussion. We'll consider a motion to adopt the resolutions.
Well, I'll make a motion. We adopt the resolution approving the fiscal year 24-25 preliminary budget, the fiscal year 24-25 appropriation limitation to set August 28, 2024 as the date of the public hearing to consider the adoption of the 24-25 final budget.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We'll roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And President Varney?
Yes. Moving on to item 10, receive written communications. We have none. Late received written communications. We have none. Are there future agenda items anybody would like to bring up?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Director Gibson.
I'd like to put on a future agenda just a discussion of putting a proposal for a tax, a fire tax on the ballot, on a ballot.
So that's what you mentioned. I was just want, is that something that is possible after all this has been done? That it would, you could reverse?
I would need to discuss with your general manager and get some guidance. There's a lot of things moving in the opposite direction right mm-hmm. now. And it's not impossible to do three shots at a ballot measure. That's not the issue, but I'd like to make sure process is clean.
That's what so I'll second that, but then maybe it wouldn't be for you to discuss. Is that what we can do for you to look into?
I think the probably the best thing is to ask, give direction to staff to look into how that would come before the board is a decision making. And it may not be at the very next meeting, because I imagine right. there's some time to figure out the specifics of it. But if there is two directors that want to see that happen.
I'd like to know all of our, now that the whole public is going to know now, or that, at least the people that didn't know, say we at least gave it every shot we could, but if it's possible, I don't even know.
So you just approved the interim services with Five Cities Fire, so that's there. Right. I think what you're requesting is probably a significant work effort on your new general manager. So right. I would suggest that there's some leeway in time as far as when that can be brought to the board if there's consensus to do so.
Since I'm being referenced and I'm right here, I think for the purpose of this item, there would be an amount of investigation that will be required, but bringing back an informational item for the board to consider, here's what it would take to get an item on the back on the ballot, here are the implications given the ongoing agreements. I think that type of informational item we could certainly bring back at some time this summer or fall. Yeah, I appreciate that, yeah. But just to answer the question, it's, I think what Director Gisman is asking, like, what would it look like? What would happen if
right.
The voters were to reconsider a third time at the fire tax? And I think we could put together a report that would consider that. Okay. That's all.
Yeah. That works.
Other agenda items? Okay. Future hearing items? We have no closed session, so meeting adjourned.